Hello, 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 and welcome to the next episode of the Shane Walsh podcast. So today's episode is one of those that I think a lot of us can relate to and will relate to in relation to almost like that burnout feeling or that workaholic feeling that we can have and the impact it has on food, the impact it has on you, the impact it has on your relationships, relationship with weight loss and your body and your food. And I think I've mentioned food twice. But I'm going to talk about all of that today, so hopefully you enjoy today's episode. So before I go into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick little update that there is a free resource on how to lose weight without tracking calories. It's a free ebook. It's 9 pages. It's been created by myself and has a really useful step-by-step approach on how to do that. MyFitnessPal is a great tool. Those apps are a great tool in the right hands. A hammer is a great tool in right hands, but you wouldn't give it to a child. Now, counting calories is an amazing tool, but not everyone should be doing it. If it's a whole point that you don't count on weekends, maybe it's a point that you don't count when you've gone over your calories, or you don't count when maybe you've snacked a little bit more, that's a sign that MyFitnessPal isn't the right tool for you, and you probably need to learn how to do it without it. There's a reason why 85% of my one-to-one clients, whose photos you can see up on my social media and the transformations that they've had from mental health, relationship with food, the transformation photos that they have, that's because they've learned how to eat for themselves. So this could be the most important ebook that you've ever downloaded. So if you're looking for a free resource, click on the link in the show notes, download your free copy, and I hope that you enjoy it. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about why being very busy, or maybe identifying yourself as a workaholic, how can it impact on relationship with food, relationships around you, impact your weight loss, impact overwhelm, anxiety, all these kind of different things. And somebody who kind of struggles with this can say things like, I love my job. It's what people in my industry do. I don't have a choice. There's no one else who can do it. The work has to get done. If I don't work, I don't get paid. And I can identify with a few of those sentences and statements as a way to justify the action in the direction that I want to go. So I'm not judging anyone with this. As someone who's self-employed, it is one of those things that you do have to accept that you are working outside of normal hours, and there's certain pros and cons to it and gives that flexibility, but there's also that element of, if you don't work, you don't get paid. There is that element of it as well. But as I said, these are the justifications that people can use when they're constantly working themselves into the ground. And while there's nothing wrong with working hard or kind of loving your job or whatever it may be, there is a problem when you're always working or thinking of work. And that's essentially known as that badge of honor that people can put a lot of power into, which is not being known as a workaholic. And some people are aware of it, and some people are not aware of it. And some people can wear this as like almost a badge or a badge of honor or a name tag on them. But the real truth is, when it comes to being a workaholic or working long hours all the time, it does impact your weight loss, your physical and mental health, your relationships, your sex drive, your sex life. And if you think about it, all those kind of things, are they really worth it? And I genuinely think it's a recipe for disaster for an awful lot of people. There are times where we need to push things, but if we're always pushing things, what are we really pushing for? If we don't have our health or our mental health, do we have anything? Realistically. So we need to look at where this term workaholic came from. And it was first coined in the 70s. And what it does is, it really does kind of drive that compulsion, describe that compulsion of uncontrollable need to work incessantly. That's essentially what it is. And since then, researchers have studied workaholism and come up with several different definitions. And these include feeling compelled to work because of internal pressures, having persistent thoughts about work when not working, and working beyond what is reasonably expected of the worker, i.e. requirements of the job or the economic need to earn income. despite the potential for negative consequences. So a negative consequence could be your relationship, it could be your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your partner, it could be your relationship with yourself. And this shouldn't be really confused with just simply working longer hours. All of us have to do that at some stage, and all of us have had to travel at some stage for our work in order to meet certain deadlines or projects. And once that deadline was met, we reverted back to our normal schedule. So as Paul Moore says, so sometimes you have to eat shit. But being a workaholic isn't driven by external factors, but rather by something more internal to us. The habits, the mindsets, the fears, the identities, the beliefs, and sometimes actual trauma. So some of the signs that can be out there that you might be a workaholic include. So one of the common ones is that you see holidays as a time to recover and celebrate. So a really, really big sign that someone is maybe pushing it too far with the levels of work that they're doing is that they see holidays as a time to rest and recover because they never rest during the whole remainder of the year. And holidays become something that they hang out of, or that they hang out for, because in their mind provides that much needed downtime to recover from those endless hours of work. But how often do you go on holidays and you're kind of still checking your emails? You're still checking your DMs? You're still digitally connected in some way? But the irony is that people who identify as workaholics aren't able to rest, aren't able to unwind, and end up working and thinking of work during their break. So often it's going to take longer than a 1 or 2 week break, because generally it takes about a week to kind of decompress. And then while you're decompressing, or just after it's taking that initial 5, 6, 7 days, you've about 3 days before you start to worry about work, kind of going back into the office, about those emails. I'm dreading those emails. I'm dreading those meetings that I have. And you start talking to whoever you're with about those kind of things. The truth is, like, holidays and vacations, or whatever you want to call them, they should be a time to celebrate and do new, try different things, try different foods, try different things, meet new different people, and do things that we don't normally do. And it's important to rest if you need it. Like, if you think about it, your phone is probably getting treated better than you right now. It gets charged and rebooted every single night. Your kids, you've learned about this workaholic thing from potentially an internal thing, or maybe you're mimicking someone else that you've idolized, and it can be that hustle culture that's created up on socials. But it's important to rest if you need it, and the sole purpose of a holiday shouldn't be to stop and rest from life. It should enhance and add to your life. They should be times of celebration, not recovery. So if we think about it, like, how many of these can you actually relate to? You struggle to slow down. You always feel burnt out. You try freeing up more time to work, spending more time working than initially intended, checking or answering phone calls or emails, working to allay fears of guilt or imposter syndrome, feeling guilty if you stop working, feeling that something is missing if you're not working, feeling stressed if you can't work, routinely taking work home with you, being obsessed with work-related tasks, having that intense fear of failing at work. It's all you ever talk about. Always complaining that you're busy. Putting work ahead of relationships, friends, partners, family. Putting work ahead of exercise. Skimping on sleep. Waking up, first thing you see is your phone. Last thing you do before you go to bed is your phone. Having trouble sleeping. Eating at your desk. Skipping meals. Not eating meals with your family. Relying on caffeine to sort out your life. Not knowing who you are if you're not working, relying on food to deal with the stress, spending more time at work than home, feeling worthless if you're not working, having difficulty switching off. Now, these are some of the ones that will probably hit home for an awful lot of people, unfortunately. And this isn't placed from judgment at all. I'm just saying how it is. But how does this all impact on your weight? And if we're always thinking about work or working all the time, we'll always be too busy to do things that would help us to lose the weight, such as our habits, our mindsets, prepare, eating regular meals, getting regular movement, etc. And that means we end up skipping our exercise sessions and reaching for any food that is possible. Usually higher processed foods, usually higher calorie dense foods that are really easy to eat and that are easy and high calories that are really easy. They add up quite quickly. And they're just simple things. We're on the road all the time and you just end up getting share bags rather than potentially getting maybe a roll, a protein bar, and that could be less calories and it's going to hold you a little bit better. And this can be one of those things when people say they don't have time, and I hate using this as an excuse. But one of the things that people can struggle with is that time period. And then you go into the whole thing of like the 4-hour work week book, or you've got 168 hours in the week, you can't make time, etc., etc. Often what stops people is they don't see value in it, number one. Two, they don't see they're worthy of it, number two. Three, they fear success. Number four, they think that it will take more effort than it actually will, time-wise and effort-wise. And stress from work will impact on your sleep, your stress, and it will also maybe increase your inclination to go for the likes of alcohol or food. So if we're drinking in order to deal with our stress, that will impact on your sleep. And if you don't get sleep, studies have shown that people who get 4 hours of sleep compared to those of people who get 8 hours of sleep will consume about 560 calories extra a day. Over a course of a week, that's about a pound a week extra of fat. Stress is a massive, massive factor. It can either speed up weight loss for people. So stress has two different hormones, two different responses for people. It turns off your hunger hormone, which will mean you lose weight quite quickly, which is when I get stressed, I get anxious and I struggle to eat. That's why I sometimes, when I know I have like in advance of the group that's gone out at the minute, I know the first that was kind of like that week 10 days beforehand was really, really busy. So I needed to rely on a system, and that system was to have alarms on to my phone as a reminder to eat. Now that might seem a little bit extreme, but I know that if I didn't have those, I probably wouldn't eat. I'd find it very easy, and I get irritable, and then I get irritable with people, and my job is with people. So no one really wins. Workaholics are often very time poor, which results in a lot of stress. They get pulled left, right, and center. They're yes people. They say that they don't have time to eat well, exercise, spend time with family. And this can lead to this feeling guilty or result in break relationships and exacerbate the stress even further. Then we look at sleep. If we're stressed, we could struggle to relax. And if we're not sleeping, well then we're going to have massive issues with the side of foods. So if you think about what, notice the differences when the days you're slept, you're not really thinking about food. The days that you haven't slept, that you're hungover, you're thinking, oh, I'm craving sugar, I'm craving carbohydrates. You're not craving either of those. Your brain is telling you, let's get the quickest source of energy into it because it doesn't feel safe. And the quickest source of energy into the body is carbohydrates, sugar, processed food, fatty foods. That's what's happening. So it's not craving those. It's craving sleep. It's telling you something that you need to either eat more regularly, have more protein with your meals, get some water, get some exercise, and actually start looking after yourself. That's what's happening. Then we look at alcohol. Alcohol and food are two things that people can either reward themselves with, or they can use them to deal with stress. Now, neither is great. If your only coping mechanism is food to deal with, or alcohol as a reward or to deal with stress, you haven't got a very good reward system in place. And you may need to look at your coping mechanisms. Rewarding with food, one, you're not a dog. So I don't know why we're using food. Well, we know why. It's been taught to you. We've created a feedback loop of when we get, oh, I've been good this week, I've done exactly what I said I'm done this week, I've done my job, I've done what I've created my life for. But if it's alcohol, it's the only way that we're going to deal with stress, Well, when we drink, one, we're numbing. Two, other foods can kind of come into play, so kind of calories can go quite quickly. But alcohol doesn't necessarily cause fucking total calories over time does. But if you're drinking and maybe get takeaways or maybe bringing in more foods and stuff like that when you are drinking, that's probably when the calories are going to be adding up. So it's not alcohol per se, but if it's your only outlet or avenue, well then something might need to be looked at. Another thing is it can impact on your sex drive. So if you think about it, workaholics are never present. They're always thinking about working or networking or whatever it may be. And this can impact on relationships with their partners, their kids, or their family members and friends. And not being present means they're unable to bond and connect with others at any emotional level. And this lack of bonding or emotional connection or emotional availability often impacts the relationships, sex drive, sex life, increases of loneliness and resentment, and often leads to relationship breakdowns with children, family, extended members, etc. So it becomes a lot more lonely. So you're already isolated, probably because you're working so hard. But for what? Who are you sharing that with? And what drives workaholism? Well, before we can actually look at it and at how to overcome being a workaholic, we need to understand the reasons why people focus on their work to the detriment of everything else in their life. It's filling a void somewhere. Square peg, round hole comes to mind. It isn't about external factors, meeting deadlines, completing projects, working longer hours because your boss asks you to. It's about your internal environment. In other words, your habits and your mindset. There are several factors at the heart of this. Lack of self-worth is one of the main ones. So this can show up in loads of different ways. Perfectionism, imposter syndrome, people pleasing, comparing themselves with other people, struggling to put themselves first, trying to control everything, not feeling free to be their authentic self, if they know what that is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of examples, or an example anyway, about perfectionism and imposter syndrome. So why do people lose themselves to work? Because they're scared of slowing down. Why are they scared of slowing down? They feel like an imposter. Why do they feel like an imposter? Their self-worth relies on how much they achieve and on validation from others. Why does their self-worth rely on how much they achieve and on validation from others? They lack self-worth. So people-pleasing. Why do people lose themselves to work? Because they don't know how to prioritize themselves. Why don't they know how to prioritize themselves? Because they struggle to say no. Why do people struggle to say no? Because they are people pleasers. Why are they people pleasers? Because they're scared of offending people. Why are they scared of offending people? Because they're scared of rejection. Why are they scared of rejection? Because they're scared of abandonment. Why are they scared of abandonment? Because their self-worth relies on being liked and validated by others. So why does a self-worth rely on being liked and validated by others? Because they lack self-worth. So you can see there's underlying things behind what you actually, behind that whole being a workaholic element. Another thing can be your values, your personal values. So I talk about the five Fs: finance, focus, fun, family, and fitness as the pillars. And one of the big things that people can value in that is when I speak to a lot of people, the one that comes at the top of that ranking is family. Then it kind of comes into finance, and then comes into fitness and health as number three. And then we're kind of like, well, are we acting in line with our values right now? Most people will say, yeah, families, yeah, but fitness and health, probably I'm acting like it's a four or a five. But we can see finance is still one or two for an awful lot of people. Money does create a freedom, but it comes at a cost. for a lot of people, and it's weighing up what cost that is. Workaholics often value money, status, material possessions above all else. This means they will always work or prioritize work at the expense of the things that matter the most: their physical and mental health, family, personal relationships. Prioritizing work over everything else can often lead to a life without meaning and purpose. Now, I was chatting with someone recently, and they've realized after a big event that they've kind of realized that there was wrong ladder against the wrong wall, and they were kind of like, well, I'm filling a void here for finance, and it's filling a void that is more internal than external. So why is everything else could be an impacted? Family, health, mental health. So what they've actually done is they're taking a career break for the next 6 months. And they know it's going to have that financial repercussion on their family, but they're like, well, they know that if they don't, their family may not want them there. Their family, they may miss out on taking memories or whatever it may be. They've taken that jump, they've thought about it, they've had the conversation, they've realized that there is an important piece to play, that they've realized that what's important to them. And that's from a conversation with a client recently. Sometimes workaholism is a product of trauma. And trauma isn't what happened to us. Often it's kind of how we process it, what happened, and how we got affected. And contrary, to what many people think, a lot of the things that it can be linked to is events that seem small and insignificant on the surface, but really, really have a massive impact on us, have a profound impact on us. And this can develop and lead to the development of habits and mindsets that are designed to protect us and keep us safe. So an example would be someone who grew up and was only given positive attention or positive praise when they worked hard and achieved things, and were berated or ridiculed if they made mistakes, may grow up believing their worth is tied to what they achieve. The other one that can be is if someone is growing up in a background where they're given validation for working hard and berated for not doing a whole lot. They can believe that if they are taking a rest or they are looking after themselves, they might feel lazy. And if they feel lazy, they can almost feel like, well, I'm being lazy, I'm not doing anything that's going to help me today, so I might as well eat or drink or whatever it may be. And I'm not sure how many, I think a lot of people will probably resonate with what I've just said there. And as that kind of sort of form of self-protection mechanism, they focus on working hard and achieving results. So they can receive praise, validation, acceptance from other people, because that's what makes them feel safe. That's what makes them feel warm and fuzzy. Then their identity becomes tied to what they do and what they achieve, rather than who they are as humans. And this is why people who identify as workaholics feel stressed when they're not working or struggle to slow down. And other people may use work as a way to protect themselves. And it offered an escape from an uncomfortable reality or a distraction from unpleasant emotions. So if we're feeling stressed or anxious with a lot of stuff that's going on and we kind of slow down, it could be the only time we're feeling those things. And we can either lean into them, which is uncomfortable, or we can escape from them by food, alcohol, drink, drugs, whatever it may be. So how do we overcome this? It's not easy. The first step is identifying yourself as it's kind of recognizing will be help. You must, if you're trying to work around kind of like losing weight and improving your relationship with food, which is what I do on a daily basis with people, is they must address the key reason for this behavior that comes back to the always comes back to your habits and behaviors and your mindsets. So I've been working with long-term clients now for a long time. And one of the things and the recurring things that crops up and the themes that crops up an awful lot is that one of the biggest weight loss struggles is lack of self-worth. It's why people seek validation through their work. It's why people work hard to overcome imposter syndrome. It's why people struggle to put themselves first. It's why people develop an identity that's tied up with their work ethic and what they achieve. It's why people become workaholics. So how do we build a self-worth? When you do, you will find you no longer measure your self-worth according to what you do, what you achieve, and how long or how much money you're making or what other people are thinking. And then this will ultimately free you from that compulsion to work. You'll ultimately have that belief that you're worthy even when you're not working or being a high achiever. So you'll be able to put yourself first. So you have time to focus on the actions that help you to lose the weight and give you that confidence and desire to be the person you want to be. Like if you took away your job right now, like if you think about it, when you meet someone new or when you're out on a date, what's one of the first questions that someone will ask you? Oh, what do you do? It's the least interesting thing about you. That along with your weight. Genuinely, if it's the I get really bored really quickly when someone asks that question. I check out from the beginning. Something I have to work on, but I find it so boring. I'm more than a nutritionist. I'm more than a PT. I'm more than someone who helps people with emotional eating. I'm more than a PT. But people have predispositions and pre-made narratives about you already when they hear those words because they're putting you into a bracket or a box. But they are figuring out where they match up against you. And it's that comparison thing. It's not a negative thing. It's not a positive thing. It's human nature. So by understanding that self-worth is often at the root of it, or trauma or grief, it's understanding and knowing that will really, really help you. So it comes down to your habits. It comes down to your mindset and recognizing these. If you recognize those, figuring out which one you can address first is really helpful. So if it's relying on food or alcohol, it's understanding why food and alcohol have been there from the off for you. What are they doing for you? Why do we need it? What can we replace it with? What different outlet? If it's time management or time poor management, what can we address? Is it deleting the apps on our phone? Is it having a cutoff time? Is it saying I'm going to bed this? Is it reducing your coffee? Whatever it may be. But it all comes back to figuring out what your values are. It all comes back to figuring out what's important to you. And it also comes back to figuring out what work is doing for you. Is it filling a void, square peg, round hole? So if you want to work with someone who specializes in habit and mindset change, build your self-worth, free yourself from this shackle that you might have, get the confidence and the body you might want, the lifestyle you've always dreamed of, pop us a message, pop us a DM, and we can jump on a one-to-one call. Hopefully you've enjoyed this episode today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, please do tag me up on your stories. Please do share it up onto your iTunes and up on Spotify. And leave a review.